podcast, which we are calling Everybody Gay, Whole Town is Cray. With your hosts, Big Pirate, aka Joanna. I'm here, I'm queer, and I have a cat named Spencer, who I sometimes call my baby.
And your other host, LCO123, aka Vina. I would not be a proud member of whatever church cult situation is going on in this movie. Tonight, we are talking about the Lifetime thriller, question mark. You're not supposed to be here. Lifetime is not typically a genre that we cover, but this is a gay movie, a gay Rosemary's Baby, some might say. This movie kind of demanded to be talked about, and I'm so glad because I actually have a lot of thoughts on it.
Yeah, and I do feel like if you are a fan of PLO, you may be a fan of this movie. It is, as we mentioned, hella gay. Both of the leads are queer women who are playing queer women, which is always a big plus. It was written by two women. It was directed by a woman. It's definitely like female centric story. And like PLL, it does not bother its pretty little head about why a lot of these things are happening. It doesn't delve too deep into the details. It just wants you to like strap in and enjoy the ride.
Yeah. It's really like a, you know, get in, bitch. We're not worrying about the plot. Like, just have a fun time. We won't be bogged down in details. Also, I would say very similar to PLL, it starts off kind of strong and then like sort of, I won't say loses steam because it does go out with a bang, but it loses the narrative thread, I think, the further we wade into the plot.
Well, it also, similar to PLL, it contains like someone's drink has been drugged. It contains attempted murder by a sauna. Which is, I feel like, very similar to Spencer's fancy shower near death. And I just feel like there are a lot of, kind of like goofy A-type hijinks.
A massage that goes horribly awry.
Stolen babies, which, constantly like happening every time you turn around on PLL.
Absolutely. In a town that's kind of out to get our main characters. Now, because this is like, you have to like get this from the Lifetime app or like the Philo app, we thought that we'd give a little bit more of a plot breakdown than we usually do on these sort of one-off episodes. Because this is, you really need to kind of understand the plot to understand this discussion. If you have a way to watch this movie, though, I highly recommend that you watch it before listening to this podcast. Not only because we'll have spoilers, but because there's a lot of just like stuff that has to be seen to be believed, I think.
It's true. It is bonkers palooza. But it is a really fun ride. I'll also say I don't know like what the last Lifetime movie I watched was. Like, I feel like you kind of have this like, oh, you know, blah 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 Lifetime movie. And it kind of means like, oh, some frivolous piece of drivel or whatever. But I will say, like, this was not as frivolous as I had expected it to be. I mean, it's really fun, but I also think like I think there's a little bit of something there.
Oh, I completely agree. I actually found myself wishing that like the bones of this script could have been produced by, you know, like HBO or something, because I think like a bigger budget R-rated version of this same script is kind of a like could be like a kind of fantastic thriller drama. But, you know, that's not the movie we get, and that's okay, because the movie that we do get also provides a lot to talk about.
It does.
Should we sort of start at the beginning of this couple, this occasionally rather hard to root for couple of Zoe and Kennedy?
Right. So these are our protagonists, our soon to be mothers. Mm-hmm. So Kennedy is the distracted all the time, you know, constantly on her phone, workaholic wife. And then we have Zoe, played by Selling Sunsets, just fantastic, megawatt smile, Chrishell Stouse.
Yeah, yeah. She, I had not realized that, like, she had a long career in soaps.
Yeah. And
I feel like you can tell watching this movie. She's, you know, none of the acting is fantastic in this movie, but all of it, I think, is works perfectly well for what this is.
I think that Chrishell elevates every scene she's in everything ever. Like, I feel like there was a bygone era of Hollywood. Like, Cary Grant was very good looking, but he was famous because he was so charming. Like, his charm just, like, radiated through skin. And I feel like Chrishell has, like, that type of charm. Like, she just has charisma, I think. When you watch her.
She does, yeah. And, I think, like, you know, like we kind of said up top, it helps that these are actually queer women playing these roles.
100%.
So we have Kennedy, the distracted kind of husband archetype character. She works at this like investment firm. Her boss is very supportive, seemingly, and makes reference to the fact that, you know, well, the last woman who worked here, she got pregnant and then she left. And Kennedy is quick to say, oh, you know, yes, we're having a baby, but that's not going to change anything. I'm still going to be a hard worker. Kennedy's wife is Zoe, and Zoe, a weird thing in this movie is that, the thing that happened before that we enter the story is that they had this devastating miscarriage, but Zoe seems to be the only one devastated by it. Kennedy does not at all seem to be impacted by it. And I do think it would be like a pretty good and obvious choice to have Kennedy, like Kennedy's grief mechanism is that she's throwing herself into her work. But the movie doesn't really connect that particular dot. So anyway, Zoe is very concerned because they had this horrible miscarriage and, you know, this is their miracle baby. And she thinks that, you know, every little thing is something wrong with the baby. And Kennedy, rather than being a supportive partner, is like incredibly demeaning and condescending and unsupportive and just kind of wants Zoe to stop being so worried.
Yeah, she is dismissive of like every single, like she actually seems somewhat contemptuous of her partner.
Yes.
As the movie starts out, which does not seem like a really great place to begin your journey of parenthood from, but like
for
the first part of this movie, I was like kind of thinking like, was this a script for a straight couple? And then yeah. They just like, because like, she's like absolutely like the jerk husband, like that you've seen in a million movies. But as the movie goes on, like it does become more important that they are a queer couple. But yeah, like that's the level of bad partnership that she is displaying. She is displaying such bad partnership skills that I was like, is this a role for a straight man? That's how I was feeling about it.
Surely this must only be a straight man. So let's see, what is the name of Kennedy's boss? Do you remember?
I wrote it down. It's Robert.
Robert. I was going to say Howard for some reason. So another just like white guy name, generic white guy name. Mm-hmm. So Robert thinks that, Kennedy and Zoe could use a weekend away. He recommends this cabin of his in this remote area. He says, go away for the weekend, but he won't be reachable because he's also going out of town. And there's a funny thing where like the script could just get to that faster, but like they have to hem and haw a little bit. Zoe wants to be like, have more of a physical relationship, and Kennedy is always off, you know, answering emails and being busy. Kennedy has a meal with Adam, her very charming gay best friend.
Zoe has a
lunch with Adam, her very charming gay best friend. And I think that this, one of the things that this movie really captures in a way that, this is weird to say, but I don't know that I've really ever seen captured in a movie in quite the same way, are like the specific microaggressions of being in a queer couple. Because while they're not actually at lunch, they're getting ice cream, and somebody that Zoe knew from insert random, this fundraiser that they worked at together or something.
A job that she had a while ago. Yeah.
And it's like incredibly vague. And this woman comes in and she sees that Zoe is visibly pregnant. She's like, oh my gosh, is this the father, gesturing to Adam? And so he's like, no, this is the donor. And this friend is like, oh, right, that's right, you have a wife. And it's such a small moment, but I feel like that's an example of like kind of life as a queer person, that like, even when somebody knows that you are queer, there is this like knee jerk reaction, sometimes even a need from straight people to sort of scoop you into the heteronormative pale.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that it's like, you have to constantly be explaining yourself in a way that is like exhausting.
And you have to constantly be coming out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, even to people you've already come out to. There's a very funny little moment after this where Adam is like, did she think I was straight? Did I read it straight? Like, he's like very disturbed by that idea. Adam is a real bright spot in this movie.
I also like, shout out to the Adam and Zoe friendship. I really like I like whenever a movie shows queer people having other queer friends and existing in community with other queer people, as opposed to like so many movies where it's like you just kind of have like the queer side characters or like the queer main characters, but everybody else around them is straight. I like that. And I also really enjoy the detail that Adam and workaholic Kennedy do not get along. And we just get like a snippet of that, because he says that like he thinks Kennedy is kind of a bitch and that Kennedy doesn't like him. And we hear that Kennedy called him too much, which he was very offended by. And you get the feeling that like, yeah, he probably is too much sometimes, but we at this point in the movie are kind of on Adam's side. It's hard to like Kennedy when she is behaving so abominably to her partner.
Yeah. At this point I was like, if your best friend doesn't like your partner, like you might want to pay attention to that. So Kennedy raises this idea of like, let's go on this weekend trip. Zoe is all for it. And now the movie can finally begin. now the movie gets to start.
So they're going up. Is the town called Wildwood? So that's where they're heading. And it's like, nebulously defined as like upstate somewhere.
Yeah.
And they're driving up. Zoe is looking forward to this weekend being like a real point of connection between them. But of course, Kennedy, like the whole way up there, is like still taking and making calls on her cell phone and doing work and ignoring her partner, who is like the only person in the car with her. They get up to the area, the mountains, presumably the mountains, the forest, it's out in nature. And at some point Kennedy loses cell signal. And at that point, Zoe has gone into like a gas station to get waters and starts to feel a little creeped out by some of the locals.
Yeah. There's mention of like, oh, a lot of pregnant women go up there. And the woman who's working the register kind of is just kind of being a little weird. And she notices Zoe's very pregnant belly. She notices Kennedy in the car and she says, oh, is this a girl's weekend? And this is another moment.
Microaggression alert.
Microaggression. Exactly. We need like a little bell to ding or something. And you just kind of see this like sort of placid smile come over Zoe's face. And I think Chrishell is great in this moment, because she says, well, she is a girl and I am a girl. It's clearly like, I don't like this, and I don't like the way you're talking to me, and I don't like what you're maybe implying, but also I want to safely get out of here.
Right. I don't want to be forced to come out to you right in this moment. Strange shop clerk who I am speaking with.
Exactly. And so Zoe already is like, maybe we should go. This like feels a little, maybe we should just go home. This is a little weird.
Well, and her wife is ignoring her just like she ignores her. Now, I will say, I understand, like, we have to, like, go down the path for the rest of the movie to happen, but I would really say, like, why doesn't Kennedy just say, okay, great, let's go back, and I can just, like, work all weekend at home? Like,
yeah.
What makes, I guess just, like, that she wants to be the one in control or something, because I was just like, yeah, why don't they turn around? No one here is having a good time.
I think Kennedy wants to make it look like she's trying without like really trying, you know? So they get to the cabin, they have no cell service, like you said. And very quickly, Zoe discovers that she does not have her prenatal vitamins, and she gets very concerned. And so they decide that they're going to go into town. Again, Kennedy is like completely like, don't worry about it. Stop worrying about it. Stop being concerned. There's also another moment where Zoe kind of tries to get something going and Kennedy shuts that right down. So they go into town, into this pharmacy, and they walk in holding hands, and immediately everybody turns and stares at them. And Kennedy remarks that this is maybe not a town where they see couples like them very often.
Mm-hmm. Microaggression.
Microaggression. Alert.
Everyone's
absolutely
staring at them.
Yeah.
Well, so in a weird something is off alert situation, the store has no prenatal vitamins. Just like five empty shelves where all of the prenatal vitamins would apparently be. So they are not able to get the vitamins. And while they are in the store, a woman played by Heather, oh man, I'm going to not be able to say.
Matarazzo.
There we go. A character played by her starts screaming at them, you're not supposed to be here, and like just really going off. And it seems in the moment like this is like perhaps a homophobic person who is like yelling and screaming at them. And then they are like dragged away by like some other people in the drugstore. And yeah, it's weird. It's very weird.
The sheriff comes up to them and like apologizes to them and says, this is not the way that this town operates. And again, at another point, Zoe is like, let's just go home. Like, this is weird. She's like, I was getting weird vibes, not just from that lady, but from other people in the store. Like, I just feel weird. I feel uncomfortable. I think another sort of thing that this movie gets really accurately is the way that like a lot of straight people will cast themselves as like the good straight person to gay people. It's the sort of kind of performative allyship of like, we feel great about this. We're so open in this town. We feel so good about gay people, but like, there's not actually any evidence of that. It's just that you want to be seen as a good person. Mm-hmm. And a few people in this movie give them that speech. And one thing that I really appreciate is that Zoe and Kennedy, particularly Zoe, doesn't fall for it. Like, she still feels uncomfortable. She still feels weird homophobic vibes throughout the movie. And I think that was one of the things that kind of surprised me about this movie, is that like, so often pregnant characters in movies are just like painted as very, very gullible or very like overly paranoid or sort of just really, really weak-willed. And I appreciated that Zoe is the one who's like sniffing stuff out here.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. She has good instincts and good intuition. Just maybe she didn't use those when selecting her partner.
Yes. Well, as Kelsey said, she was like, oh, they are so gonna get divorced after this movie. this movie is the prelude to a divorce.
Yes. I heartily agree. So they head back to the cabin. We next kind of see them sitting outside, you know, having like a little, you know, campfire or something like that.
Sitting incredibly far apart.
Sitting far apart. And I think that Kennedy is like still messing around with her phone, which is like, oh, Lord. And then there's like this like ominous rustling in the trees, and a group of like, I don't know, 5 or 6 very similarly dressed smiley people appear, and they have this like basket of herbs that they have brought because they heard that the town was out of prenatal vitamins, and one of them, who seems to be the leader, her name is Penny, and she happens to be a midwife, and these people are giving her the like, we're the supportive progressive people, we're so happy to have you here, we want to do anything we can to help you, when like actually like what you could really do is leave these people alone, like not be like intruding on you know their time, etc.,
appearing from out of the woods. So they're trying to be very friendly, very like welcoming, like you said, and eventually they go away. But Zoe is really getting creeped out. Kennedy, weirdly, like, Kennedy is like this kind of corporate America person, would hate these hippie people, but she's being, I think, just to be kind of contrarian to Zoe.
I thought it was maybe because it's her boss's cabin, and so she was like, she didn't want anybody to like report back to Robert that she had been like rude or a jerk or anything.
Maybe, although she's like defending them to Zoe when they're in private.
That's true.
So that's true. I feel like she's just maybe kind of being a contrarian jerk a little bit, but she's like, oh, it's fine. It's, you know, this is all good. It's all good. Penny, the creepy midwife, pops back in to invite them to yoga the next morning. And
which Kennedy agrees to.
Kennedy agrees
without asking her pregnant wife. Like, she agrees, even though she knows that her wife is creeped out by these people.
Yes.
They just had a whole conversation about it.
Well, also, one thing that Kelsey and I were talking about is, like, this movie would work so much better if they were, like, staying at this cabin for, like, a month. Or, like, this, I'd, like, move to this town or something. Like, because it's so weird that they're packing all of this into this one weekend. But, like, if you get to the cabin quicker and then it's like this growing sense of dread over a longer period of time, I think it actually works better. Like if it's like a remote job situation and, you know, maybe Kennedy's never actually met her boss in person.
Ooh. Because,
you know, it's just all been over Zoom or whatever. And it's just this kind of almost like make it a like Shining vibes a little bit.
Mm.
I think that would work better. But again, that's not the movie that we get. So they look through the various herbs in the basket. One of the herbs that Zoe is given and that she takes is notably red raspberry leaf, which, having worked in the birth world a bit myself, I can say red raspberry leaf is known to induce pregnancy or induce labor. In fact, many women will drink it as a tea right at the end of their pregnancy to try to get labor going. So, so they are trying to induce Zoe's labor here.
Yes. The next day they are dragging, like, you know, Zoe kind of under protest is going to this yoga in the park that is led by creepy midwife Penny. And in addition to being like kind of dragged off to yoga, Zoe and Kennedy aren't even going to get to sit next to each other at yoga.
No,
like,
no.
Zoe is like sent to like a more distant mat, and Kennedy is supposed to do yoga right next to creepy midwife Penny. Also, this is a hilarious yoga class because the movie did not have any yoga consultants, and all anyone is doing is like moving their arms above their head and then putting their arms down. Like that is like the yoga move that everyone is just doing over and over and over in this class. So that's fun. But the instructor is spending all of her time when she is not teaching, like, I don't know, another yoga pose. She is spending all of her time bothering Kennedy about how much Kennedy works and how much a baby is going to change things. Now, she has literally just met Kennedy. And like, okay, Kennedy is an extreme workaholic, but like, I mean, I would have some questions about like, how does Penny know that?
Yeah, you would wonder. It's also, this is like another kind of interesting beat in this movie that, you know, again, this like dream HBO version would hopefully go deeper into, is like, this movie is, I feel, sort of existing at this interesting intersection of like patriarchy and homophobia, where like a lot of the reactions that they're getting as a couple are based on homophobia, but a lot of the reactions that Kennedy is getting as a woman, as a working woman, as a working mother, are based on, misogyny and patriarchy, because it's a lot of the, you know, the questions that a man would not necessarily get. And you find out later that this is all like playing into the end game of, you know, this town wanting everybody to sort of have these very traditional roles.
Well, also, this is like, this is another queer microaggression too, because as a queer person, you have to justify your fitness to become a parent. Whereas if you're straight, sure, it's just boom.
Right, right. Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. Yeah. Yeah. So they, after the yoga class, this is when things are like really kind of starting to break down, because this is right when Kennedy needs to make the phone call and has to go into town. So she decides that she wants to go into town. Sort of simultaneous to this, Zoe makes a bit of a bold move and decides that she wants Adam to come hang out with her, which, not a great move on Zoe's part.
Well, I kind of think that she wanted him to come up there so that she could have her own way back. Like, I kind of think she was maybe,
sure,
she was maybe contacting him in the hope that he would like pick her up and take her home if this, because like, she's very creeped out by everything that's happening. Kennedy is not taking her seriously, and also has just left Zoe pregnant, anxious,
yes,
and alone in the cabin, so that she, yeah, can like go into town and make a work call.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very, yeah, it's very bleak for poor Zoe at this, yeah, point. Yes. And also, so now our couple is separated, and they will remain separated for most of the rest of the movie. Because there's kind of this moment when Adam arrives and there's some hostility between him and Kennedy, and Kennedy kind of goes off in a huff into town to make her phone call, and Adam and Zoe are hanging out, and then Penny just pops by, and I feel like there is a bit of an unspoken thing of Penny's reaction to meeting Adam as a gay Black man, learning that he is the donor. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about that?
Oh, I definitely agree. She seems like Penny has been one of the characters who like wants to seem very progressive, but it definitely seems like in the presence of a queer Black man, she is like having greater difficulty keeping up that facade.
Oh yeah, there's a real kind of like mask of surprise that she sort of, you know, tries to paste over with delight that he's here. And she has come to whisk them away to kind of walk around the town, and then also to go to the spa. There's also this seed that's planted around here, which is probably the silliest part of this very silly movie, about the mines.
Yes.
And how the mines, all these people, you know, the mines shut down, and there's like some weird kind of superstition about the mines. And later you'll learn that the town believes that the mines are like this sort of seed of like bad luck, and like going into the mines will bring about bad luck. Sure.
Right. So the mines.
The mines are around. Yeah. Yeah. And so meanwhile, Kennedy is in town, and she gets a latte that says leave on it, which she interprets as more homophobia.
Yes. Yeah. Also, it says leave, like, you know how a coffee cup might have your name written on it instead of her name. It's just the word leave. I feel like you might be right about Kennedy just being a contrarian, because truly, if I ever received a coffee cup that had the word leave written on it, number one, I would absolutely leave. And number two, I would not drink that coffee. I would not assume that the purveyor of the coffee wished me well.
Yeah. You'd be like, I don't really know what's going on, but I know that it's bad.
I would be like, listen, creepy town, you do not have to tell me twice. I am delighted to be leaving.
But... exactly.
Yeah. But it's like, it does add to the creepy undertones of like, this woman was shouting at them in the drugstore, and now someone is like going to like efforts to send a secret message to leave. Like, but you know, Kennedy is kind of blithely ignoring all of these signs. What she is not ignoring, however, is this work call that she has been having to place to the like weirdly often mentioned Tanya, who's like a big muckety muck on this new account that Kennedy has landed for her firm. And this is also very PLL, because she has a business call that I feel like in reality would never happen. Like, yep. So Kennedy is calling Tanya, and it's like not even really known like what exactly she wants to talk about, but Tanya, who does not work for Kennedy's firm, Tanya is like the client. Tanya's like, oh, well, I actually can't talk with you about any of this because you're off the account. And like, yeah. Kennedy is like, what? No, I'll do anything. I went away for the weekend, but it'll never happen again. And Tanya's like, no, your firm removed you from the account. And it's like, no client is going to be the one who they'll tell you if they're firing you, but like, they're not going to tell you like, oh, your firm took you off of, like, what?
Yeah.
So anyway, and of course Kennedy is like, this must be a terrible mistake. And Tanya's like, sorry, lady, bye. And so then this is something that Kennedy cares very much about and is very upset by.
Well, it's also funny because, like, Kennedy's just, when Kennedy wants to get a hold of somebody, like, she doesn't send an email, she doesn't send a text, she just calls them and calls them and calls them and calls them and calls them some more. She doesn't leave messages. It's just like, this is what she does. So she starts frantically calling Robert, trying to figure out what is going on with her job and this account, but she cannot get a hold of him.
Yes.
And then, meanwhile, over at the spa... Penny is leading Adam, and she's once again kind of separating everybody. She takes Adam to get to hang out in the sauna, and she takes Zoe for a, you know, supposedly very relaxing pregnancy massage.
It's going to be like a facial or something. Like a steam.
Steam, yeah. Facial. Yeah, but it's very like... Zoe, like, come on, you have bad instincts about these people. Don't lie down on a chair.
Well, also, there is a moment that I love, because I feel like, oh man, this movie is like not as frivolous as you think. So Zoe, who like absolutely feels like these people are freaking creepy, and that they do not have good intentions, and she's like following Penny around, like, you know, doing the tour of the spa because Adam wants a spa day. But there's a moment when Penny like picks an herb from like the garden and hands it to Zoe and is like, here, eat this. And even though Zoe absolutely does not trust these people, like the force of social politeness on this woman, she goes ahead and eats it. And she's like, oh,
yeah, it's like, Zoe, come on. But, you know, they need to have this bit about, like, but she's it's eating like the raspberry leaf.
Yeah, but it's like the forced politeness is just amazing.
It really is. It really, really is. And that, you know, that she's, like, an outsider in this community. And, you know, that she doesn't know what that's going to mean for her or for Adam or for Kennedy. So Kennedy, meanwhile, goes back to her car. Of course, her car will not start. who should be there but Sheriff Jim. He offers to give her a ride. She happily accepts. And when she is not looking, when she's preoccupied with something else, he adds some kind of mysterious drug to her coffee cup. Her coffee cup that she's still drinking out of that says leave on it.
Yeah, it is amazing. And then he passes the road where he should turn off to go back to the cabin. And then Kennedy, like, kind of slowly fades out of consciousness while in his cruiser.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we get a lot of shots of, like, the hallway. I feel like they were very enamored with the shots of the hallway of this, like, spa, creepy, like, birthing suite place. Mm-hmm. And so Adam, you know, he is in the sauna and he wants to get out. But much like Spencer Hastings, he finds himself trapped and he starts banging on the door and yelling and nobody is answering him. And he's still giving them the benefit of the doubt that he was accidentally locked in, which I don't know how you get accidentally locked in a sauna, but OK. And then meanwhile, let's see. So Zoe, she gets knocked out by, like, the mysterious steam that they're waving in her face, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, like she's losing consciousness, and then she, like, kind of comes back to herself, and then at that point, like, everybody is, like, all of the you know, similarly dressed creepy townspeople are rushing into the room with, like, an IV and, like, equipment. Because guess what? Her water just broke and she is about to have the baby.
And I like that she specifically says to Penny, you induced me. Like, she realizes, like, that this was completely intentional. And I think the sequence of her giving birth is actually, like, so creepy and really kind of good, because even though it obviously is much faster than labor normally goes, there's something to me that was so chilling about this idea that, like, the person who is terrorizing you is, like, the person who's also helping you in this moment, and, like, you have no, you're so vulnerable that you have no choice but to rely on them. Because Penny, and I think the actress who plays Penny is very good as well, and she's saying all these comforting things like, oh, you know, you're doing great, just keep pushing, you got it, you know, your baby's coming out, and yet she's essentially, like, kidnapped Zoe. So it's very creepy and very interesting.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And there's a moment when, like, the other, like, I don't know, the cult assistants have to, like, kind of hold Zoe's legs apart, because, like,
yes,
like, Zoe seems to feel like the only control she has at this moment is trying to, like, stop what's happening. So yeah, this is a really creepy scene.
It's super, super creepy. It's super creepy. And it's really, like, I think so much of this movie, like, what makes this movie work in an interesting way is, like, I think that queer people move throughout the world with a certain level of paranoia that is often justified. And, like, we sometimes don't know when it's justified, right? Like,
yeah,
we sometimes don't know, like, do I feel like people are looking at me and my partner in public? And A, is that good? You know, if they are, is that going to be a problem? You know, B, am I just making it up in my head? Like, you don't, you know, and so I think that, like, this is kind of the moment when, like, all of Zoe's paranoias sort of come home to roost. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, in this bizarre way, it's like this kind of weird validation for her of, like, I was right, but, like, it's horrible, but I was right. These people are, like, out to get us.
Yes, yes. So then we kind of, like, cut away. Like, we know that Zoe has, like, gone into labor and has, like, had the baby. But we cut away. Adam has, like, broken out of the sauna successfully, but is still locked in the room where the sauna is. So they basically, like, kind of just double locked him in. That was the way of addressing his presence. So he's, like, stymied. And then Kennedy wakes up in, like, kind of a, just kind of like an empty room, but she is able to communicate by, like, shouting, and they realize that she and Adam are, like, locked in rooms that are near to one another.
Yeah, it's not very well shot because, like, they're clearly just in completely different places. But, like, whatever. The sets aren't great in this movie. That's okay. yeah, and there's kind of, I mean, this is kind of a fun dynamic, right? Because it's, like, they hate each other, but they have to work with each other. And, like, Kennedy, this is kind of all dawning on Kennedy. And she's like, oh, my God, my boss took me off this huge account. And Adam is like, you're thinking about work right now, seriously. Like, he, you know, he's not getting that it's connected. And so they kind of are recognizing that, like, this is really bad. They need to get out. But they, most importantly, they need to get Zoe and the baby out.
Yes. So they do. Oh, this is like another PLL moment. There's some crawling through air vents in order to aid their escape. Adam and Kennedy, then they like free themselves and they need to like go and try to find Zoe and baby.
Yes. Yes. And where do they end up finding themselves? But witnessing this like ritual situation, which, you know, I gotta say, this this cult, for having apparently like killed a bunch of women and like harvested a bunch of babies, they really need to work on like keeping track of people.
I definitely agree. I think there was like one guard on the locked rooms that Kennedy and Adam had to take out, and Adam took him out just by kind of falling out of the ceiling on him.
Yep.
So it wasn't really a big thing. And also, like, I just feel like, I mean, it seems to me that they must have been planning on killing all of them, right?
Like, sure.
Why delay? What are you all waiting for? Like, if you were going to like murder them, you could have murdered Kennedy when she was, I don't know, drugged and unconscious. You could have like you could have tried to murder Adam in a less James Bond trap that you can easily escape kind of way. Like, yeah, I don't really know what they were waiting for in terms of the murderings.
Yeah, they really could have done a little bit more there, I think.
Yeah, they are not efficiency experts, I feel.
But they're very, you know, they're very focused on this baby. And so they have this baby and the leader of the cult comes out, and who should it be but bum bum bum, Kennedy's boss, Robert. And because it's been so long since we've seen this man's face, Kennedy helpfully is like, it's my boss, Robert. And we sort of learn that this is like a cult that is about trying to raise babies, you know, away from the sort of evil temptations of cities, bring them back to kind of a more traditional life with more, I don't know if they say more traditional roles, but that definitely seems to be the implication.
Yeah. And there's also this whole weird line about like, the lead poisoning in the mines meant that nobody there could have babies. And so that's how they became a baby napping cult situation. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot going on. And the baby is like, so it seems like they're happy to have the baby. And it seems like they're planning on keeping the baby, which, I mean, good. The baby is not going to be like a ritual sacrifice. But yet the baby is like on this table that seems to be like set for a feast. So I did have a moment of like, are they gonna eat the baby? What's going to happen? But it's not that kind of movie. No babies are eaten in the course of the movie.
It is really weird. It does feel like the baby maybe is about to get eaten, but the baby is not. But then it's, yes, this is where I feel like things just start to get a little bit muddy. You know,
because like Adam and Kennedy are like watching this from like behind, like they're not particularly well concealed.
No,
they're sort of eavesdropping. It's not even a window. It's just sort of like an open air. I don't know. Yeah, they're very close by, and then they kind of like they tiptoe away instead of trying to take back the baby at this time or confront Robert. They tiptoe away with the intention of finding Zoe.
Yes, because Adam makes the point that like they're not going to be able to get through, you know, with just the two of them against all these people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, so then they go and they eventually do find Zoe. They're able to unlock the room that she's in. Kennedy apologizes finally, you know. She has a lot to apologize for, but she finally does apologize. And then we have this sort of running around where, like, Zoe is, you know, has just given birth. So she's, like, clutching her stomach, running around, and they're trying to get the baby.
Yes, they're trying to get the baby. There is also a moment when one of the kind of cult members, like, bursts in to the baby area and announces they've escaped. And I think Penny says, "Who?" And it's like, the people you had you're holding prisoner. How many people are you holding prisoner at this time? The people you just stole this baby right here from.
There's also this kind of amazing shot of this, like, very young looking woman holding like a rifle or like an AK-47
that, like, comes out of nowhere. Like,
she just, like,
we actually have not seen any other guns in this movie at all. Yeah. And then all of a sudden there's this, like, as soon as, like, the people have escaped and somebody needs to watch this baby, all of a sudden there's this young girl with, like, a rifle who is like, I mean, I assume this is like a, you know, this is like emergency positions. This is like a drill. They've practiced before. Yes! So she's like, yes, all right, I have my rifle and I am the baby watcher. And despite the fact that she was, like, very ready with the rifle, she is extremely ineffective as an armed baby watcher, because she is, like, instantly overpowered when the three, like, heroes enter the room. They, like, easily knock her out and
with a shovel.
With a shovel. Also very PLL. And then they reclaim the baby.
They run outside. This is also where I feel like the lack of great set design is, like, hindering things. They run outside and there's Heather Matarazzo. She's, like, in a locked shed.
A storage shed or something.
Yes. Yeah. They unlock her and she, like, very quickly explains, like, "I'm on your side. I'm a good person. Like, I was born into this cult. There are people who, like, want to resist against the cult. We've been trying to warn you. I'm sorry. I'm not homophobic." Like, it's very weird. It's also, like, an unclear thing of, like, why don't you just leave, girl? Like,
they should have cut this part out because this is not good. This just gets really confusing because, as you say, she has this whole, she's talking very fast and she's giving an incredible amount of backstory. Like,
yes.
Like, I was one of the babies who was, like, kidnapped by the cult and they murdered my parents. And so I don't like what they do. I'm not a, you know, like, well, okay, so, like, maybe you should go away and tell someone, yes, like, the police of another town about what's happening here. Like,
yes.
It just seems like, again, these cult members are not efficiency experts. Like,
they're really not.
Much, much better than staying in town and, like, screaming in a drugstore would be for you to maybe, like, go out and set off the alert about these people. So yes, this is bonkers. And also, it's like, well, what's up with the dude who was working at the coffee shop who sent the message leave? I mean, I guess he's another, like, former kidnapped baby resister, but, like, again, go tell someone.
Well, and what's wild is, like, later Heather Matarazzo, like, gives a speech to everybody about, like, it's our time to rise up, and then that doesn't go anywhere. Like,
no!
I feel like there was something on the cutting room floor here. Also, in her very kind of frantic bit of exposition, she explains that they're terrified of the mines, and so
the mines are back. Chekhov's mines.
Oh, it was really Chekhov's mines. It was like, I didn't think Kelsey when they first brought up the mines, and I was like, okay, so this movie's ending in the mines, right? And she's like, you have to go to the mines. And so they go to these very clean-looking mines, and you get a, like, they get like five steps into the mines and you get like a, I swear to God, 2 second shot of something. I couldn't even tell that it was a body, but apparently it's like a rotting corpse. And they find evidence to suggest that this is like an ongoing baby, you know, baby snatching operation. They've been killing off all these people. They figure out that the former employee at Kennedy's work was one of the people who was killed off. And you know, that this is like a serious, this is bad. This is a serious, bad, bad thing happening here.
Yeah. I also feel like, I mean, I felt like I would have left the town after someone screamed at me in the drugstore, like for sure. I would have returned to my home. I didn't return to my home at that point, I for sure would have returned to my home when the coffee said leave. And I also would not have drunk the coffee. However, at this point, even though things are looking quite dire, you have this baby, you're on the run, I would not go into the mines. I feel like mines are like an enclosed underground space. I would really not take that as my best way of escaping this situation.
Well, I also feel like even if you, even if they are terrified of going in the mines, they probably know the mines better than you do.
Yeah.
You know? So then there's like kind of a funny element of all of this is like the power struggle between the two leaders of the cult, which it's like, Kelsey made the point. She was like, oh, this is like a metaphor for like heterosexual marriage is like the dad of the cult. And it's unclear if these people are like siblings or like husband and wife or what exactly, but Penny and Robert, like, he's been out in the city just hanging out, you know, bringing home the bacon, and she's had to be here to mind all the cult members. And so you see the breakdown of this cult is happening. Like, she's like, it's all falling apart. Like, this is all your fault.
Right. You can't just make up the rules. And he's like, of course I can. I'm the cult leader. Like, you know, there's a lot happening.
There's a lot happening here. And so he decides that he can make up the rules and he can go into the mine.
Now, this is also weird because, like, presumably some of the cult members have been going into the mines to, like, dispose of the bodies. So I don't know why
that's
such a big deal about the mines, but okay.
Maybe the idea is, like, he's just been bullshitting the whole time and he's been going into the mines the whole time, but it's like unclear.
Very unclear. Who knows? But I don't even really know, like, what, like, he goes in the mines, there are the mines, then all of a sudden no one's in the mines. They're like back out and they're stealing cars.
We could get through all of this a lot quicker because it's a thing of like, he's following them, but then like he kind of stops and then like then the cop is like dealing with them and is there's a moment that could have been better where the cop is like says to Zoe, like, hand over the baby or I'm gonna shoot Kennedy. And like it could have been an interesting character moment for Kennedy to be like, shoot me, you know, I want to fall on my sword for my family kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't end up happening. Is it Heather Matarazzo who knocks out the cop and then they drive away or something?
I thought she just does she knock him out? I don't know. She knocks him out or she distracts him. Something happens and they are able to like hop in a car and start driving away.
But there is, an amazing moment where, Penny is run over. And there's an incredible moment where, like, Robert gets in a car and Penny's like, save me, Robert, save me. And he keeps driving and just, like,
running.
This is also where I'm like, oh, I wish they had the budget. I wish they were able to show more gore.
I felt like that was a great example of, I never thought leopards would eat my face, says the woman who voted for the leopards eating my faces party. Like,
yes.
That is what you align yourself with a dude like Robert, and that's what's going to happen. He is eventually going to run over your dying self in the middle of the road.
Yeah. Look what happens, Penny. Are you happy? Are you happy? Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, and so then we're like in the car. They have to get out of the car? Robert catches up to them?
Well, in another PLL moment, their car is like possessed. And so it like stalls out and stops, presumably due to cult magic or Robert like controlling it with an anti-theft system.
Right. And so they have to get out of the car. Robert catches up to them. And Kennedy kind of tries to confront him. And Zoe is sort of like, okay, enough of this. And she just comes out with a gun and shoots him in the leg. It's an amazing moment. And then the lady, the like kind of homophobic lady from the gas station, ends up saving them, which is like, how did you feel about that?
Well, I felt like it kind of undermined the whole movie because it means that Zoe's instincts weren't as good as we thought. Like she got the creeps from that lady and she shouldn't have, but then her creeps about everybody in the town was correct. So yeah, I felt like having that lady save them was almost like a not all straight people sort of moment.
Yeah,
all homophobes moment. Homophobes want to kidnap your baby. So
yeah, I didn't particularly need that from this.
No, I don't know why they couldn't have just then like taken Robert's car to get out of there. But
yeah, but they needed to have the scene, and then they have the kind of the sweet scene in the back seat where Adam makes a crack about like, you know, are you going to name the baby after me? And Kennedy says, how about we name the baby Ada? And they decide that they will name the baby Ada. It's like not a great ending. I feel like it could have been stronger, but I do think, you know, it is a happy-ish ending for a queer couple. And so that, you know, that's more than we get sometimes.
They all make it out alive. I also want to call out what I thought was another really great moment when Robert like implies that the reason that he wanted to steal this particular baby was because Kennedy works so much and she would never be home and she would never be able to like take care of or love her baby. So like he's like basically wanting to steal the baby because he feels like she would be such a bad mom, which again, micro and macro aggression being that he's trying to steal the baby. But also I was like, that is like, that is like yet another, like, this is like the capitalist hetero patriarchy in a nutshell. Like, I'm your boss, so I'm going to insist you work constantly all the time, no breaks. And yet, I blame you for working constantly all the time, no breaks, and feel like you are not worthy of being a parent. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the, you know, you sort of get the implication that, like, you know, he didn't really want to hire this woman. He just hired her because she could be part of his baby snatching ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting choice to have Robert be sort of the ultimate villain. I mean, it makes a lot of sense in a way.
Yes. Yeah. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was a super fun ride. Did you like Kennedy more by the time we got to the end of the movie?
I still think they should get divorced, but I did like her a bit more. I wish that she would have apologized earlier and more clearly, but I also get that they were like afraid for their lives. I did like her more. I don't think she deserves Zoe though. What about you?
No. I agree that she definitely does not deserve Zoe, but I do feel like Zoe has like all the power in terms of their future. Like if they're going to have one, like Zoe could just like for the whole rest of their lives be like, no, we're going to like the restaurant I want to go to tonight because remember when you led us to that town of baby snatchers? Like, you know,
and remember when your boss tried to steal a baby?
So, I did like Kennedy. I feel like actually Adam is such a good, like we've talked about on PLL, like, you know, when Emily cries, like the audience cry, you know, like the characters through whom you access emotion. And I feel like Adam is the bellwether for that. When Adam sort of forgives Kennedy, that's when the audience sort of forgives Kennedy.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And it is kind of this thing of like, okay, the bad guys are so bad that we have to cut Kennedy a little bit of slack here.
Yeah.
I think this movie was so much fun. I think, you know, it's kind of an example in like this sort of unexpected way of like how you can make a queer movie that's like distinctly queer, but not just about being queer. You know, this isn't a coming out movie. This isn't like a movie that's like necessarily entirely about the fact that they're a gay couple. And yet the fact that they're a gay couple is hugely important to the plot. And I dare I say, I think they balance it quite well.
Yeah, I really agree. And I think that having like, you know, queer women playing queer roles is really great. I think that it really, they bring a realism to these like not very realistically drawn characters that takes the movie to like a higher level than it would otherwise be.
Exactly. And I really appreciate that this is like a campy queer kind of soapy movie, but it's not like the women are not like kissing men, you know, the gay best friend is not getting killed off. Like it's a campy queer movie that like lets the characters be queer and be alive.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And like there's some weird, like you were saying, you thought there were like some scenes that were maybe on the cutting room floor. There was a scene that they included where like when Zoe calls Adam to ask him to come up to the cabin, he's actually on a date and it's going kind of well. And I was like, I wonder why they kept this scene in there, because it doesn't seem totally necessary. But I actually really appreciate that they did it, because it means like it gives you more of a perspective on Adam. And it also he's not like a desexualized character. Like he is a gay man who is interested in dudes. And you do get to have that like part of his arc as well.
Well, and Kelsey made the point that like them being on a rock climbing date feels very accurate.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a sense of possibility with this guy too, which is actually kind of sweet in a way. I think this movie is a lot of fun. I would highly recommend anybody who is in the mood for like a campy, queer movie to check this out. It's, I think you'll have a good time with it.
Agreed. I had a much better time than I had even expected.
Me too. Me too. It was quite the pleasant surprise. Well, I think that's probably all we have to say about this particular film. If you watch this, if you have more hot takes about this movie, we would love to hear from you. You can, of course, send us an email at everybodyapodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out our Instagram at everybodyapodcast. You can check out our Spotify, everybodyapodcast. And you can also send us a rating and review on iTunes. We would appreciate it. This is our last episode before Thanksgiving, so I hope, you know, wishing all of our listeners out there a happy and healthy holiday. I know holidays can bring up a lot for people, so just be good to yourselves.
Yeah, I hope you have exactly the holiday that you want. I hope that it is full of, like, peace and all of the things that you are truly thankful for.
Hear, hear. I like that. All right, until next time.
Take care.
We'll be right back.